Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
I'm Jackie Berger, host of Just Food Stories. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb, coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. I write about food. My favorite part about what I do is finding out the stories and meeting the people behind great recipes, restaurants, and more. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air, bringing the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life by interviewing some of the most interesting women in the world of food. You can listen to the show live every Wednesday at 2 o'clock on HeritageRadioNetwork.org or download it anytime on iTunes. Speaking of HeritageRadioNetwork.org, I strongly encourage you to visit the site because this week we're celebrating the 5th anniversary of Heritage, and this week is all about fundraising. So if you check out the website, there's lots of things you can do, and you can join the network, which we would totally appreciate. Today, I'm really excited to have two pairs of women on the show. In the first segment, I'll be talking to Sarah Gordon and Sheila Fain, the couple behind Gordy's Pickle Jar. And in the second segment, I'll be talking to Danielle and Laura Kosan, the sisters behind the NewPotato.com. Not only do these women make some of my favorite pickles, truly, and some of my favorite online content, they're also totally doing things their own way, and I'm excited to hear more about how they've built their successful brands. We're going to start with Sarah and Sheila. Hi, guys.
Hey, Julia.
Thank you very much for coming all the way from Washington, D.C. to come on the show today. I think that's the longest distance in a single day we've had a guest, so much appreciated. And I want to congratulate you. Is it okay to announce the news?
Yeah, sure.
Sarah and Sheila just had their first nationwide sale to the Fresh Market, and I'm super excited to tell my mother-in-law that because she loves the Fresh Market, so that's really awesome. I want to talk a little bit about the road that led up to Gordy's before we talk about Gordy. So where are you guys both from? We could start with you, Sarah.
I'm from Chicago, but I've been living in D.C. for well over 8 years.
And Sheila?
And I grew up in the metropolitan area. I'm from Maryland.
Yeah, so it's sort of stayed local.
I stayed local.
And what were you guys both doing before you started Gordy's?
I was running my own consulting firm, Culture Concepts.
Helpful.
And I have a hospitality background.
So you guys are a great pair.
Yeah. we think so.
Yeah. And how did you guys meet each other?
Each story is a little bit different. Yeah. So I'll let Sheila take a stab at that.
Yeah, we met each other a couple of times. We have similar friends and officially at a brunch.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You confirm that story. And you guys are a couple, not only in business, but in real life.
Right.
And we've spoken to a few women on the show who run businesses with other members of their family. Later, we're going to be talking to Danielle and Laura, who are sisters. So you guys being together in sort of personally and professionally, tell me a little bit about the decision to go into business together.
Well, Sarah and I always knew that we wanted to collaborate in some way. So it was kind of a natural transition. And for me, I can't think of a better person to, you know, have a company with.
Oh, she's being too sweet. so our backgrounds, Sheila, just a little bit more about Sheila is, she has a great knack at creating great flavor profiles. And so from the minute that we met, she was just making me these incredible dinners and sauces and everything. And we just always talked about bringing, you know, me telling her that I would love for us to bring something to market together. And pickles it was.
Pickles won out.
Yeah.
That's so great. And now is running Gordy's both of your full-time jobs?
It is.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. How would you each describe your roles? Because you come from pretty different backgrounds, like you were just saying.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for me, I'm totally hands-on on production.
Yeah, she oversees all of production. Yeah. I do all of the merchandising and, you know, all the business aspects of it, marketing, merchandising.
So, Sheila, you get the pickles in the jar and Sarah gets them on the shelf.
Pretty much, yeah. Sometimes our roles have to, you know, merge, but most of the time.
Yeah.
We have very separate roles.
And how did you come up with the name? Where does the name come from?
So my last name's Gordon. Mm-hmm. And everyone called my father Gordy. Ah. And so we thought it would be a strong pickle name. So, yeah, he's now deceased, so it's kind of our
homage.
Yeah,
that's really sweet. I love that. And I love the name Gordy. So Sheila, your job of sort of actually making the pickles, where does that all happen? Where does production happen?
Well, we use a small kitchen in Northwest D.C. that is kind of a shared space. And it's just a really humble, you know, small kitchen.
Is that where you guys first started making pickles, or did you grow into
it
that
is,
space?
It is, yeah. And we're actually about to take
it around
space.
I was about to
ask,
space. I'm yeah. sure, with yeah, this yeah. fresh market order.
Right, it's a bit of a challenge to work in such a small space.
Yeah. Do you know where you're moving, or that's
sort of
over the next few weeks? Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of pickles out there, and I feel like yours stand out not only because of what you're putting in the jar, but also because of what they look like, which I guess, Sarah, has a lot to do with your end of the business. So who designed the branding?
So I worked with one of my really good friends from college, Noah Armstrong, to design the label, and then we just had a kind of a squad of old friends kind of do everything. I had another friend design the website, and it kind of all just came together.
That's so great. And who did the, like, photography that's on your site? Because I feel like there's some great images of just pickles being used in, like, sandwiches and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we actually have a really awesome small team, and one of our people on our team is Morgan Hungerford West, and she does
a
really
name.
Awesome yeah right it's very strong. She does a phenomenal job with pairings and photography and just all around, you know, really making our brand look good.
And how big is your team?
Small. We're four, but now we're soon to be five, so tiny.
Yeah. That's a lot of pickles.
Yeah.
And Sheila, tell me a little bit more about the pickles themselves. Where are you getting all your ingredients?
Well, right now we're just approaching the beginning of cucumber season, so mm-hmm. we've just recently gotten some of our first local crop from New Jersey, and we'll continue to source locally through the end of September or October. And we're also working directly with some farmers in the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland and Virginia specifically. We have, specific farms growing specific crops for us, like our jalapenos for our Thai basil jalapenos, and also cherry bombs. We do a cherry pepper spread.
Perfect. The snack of cherry bomb.
Right.
And tell me a little bit more about your spices, because I know that you mentioned, like, on the site about, what's the term that you use to describe them? They're responsibly
cultivated.
Yeah.
We purchase from Frontier Organic, who is a very reputable company and supplier for spices. So we feel like it's very well trusted.
That lingo probably has got a lot of people wondering, you know,
No, but that's a good thing to make people curious. And I think there's a lot of things that as consumers we sort of take for granted, like, you know, knowing where things like spices come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always on the top of your mind as much as maybe like produce or meat mm-hmm. or something like that. So I think it's great to know about.
It's actually interesting to bring up because we have started talking to some of our local farmer friends about possibly growing mustard seed for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we'd love to get
can that be grown in the D.C. area? I don't know much about
it. Can. Not all of the spices that we use can be, but that one in particular, yeah. which we happen to use a lot of, fortunately can be grown, and we might be getting some of the first batches of it.
DC mustard.
Yeah, this summer, possibly.
That's awesome. Speaking of your farmer friends, tell me a little bit more about the food community in Washington, D.C., because it sounds like it's been a pretty great place for you guys to start mm-hmm. this company.
Yeah, it's been awesome, and it's growing, and it's really on the cusp of something big, I think. It's getting a lot of, people from outside of D.C. are starting to come and, you know, Stephen Starr and who are some of the other ones? Just a lot of new faces in the district, which we're really excited about. And there's tons of new small batch companies popping up like every day. So we're seeing a lot of people, you know, really care about where their food come from, and wanting to, you know, to make their own craft.
That's awesome. And I know just from following you guys on Instagram, I know people like Jose Andres have been really supportive of
he's been
what
awesome.
You're doing. And I think in my mind, being someone who's not from DC, thinking about the DC food scene, he's kind of like the go-to guy. So I think having him on your side sounds like
absolutely. Yeah, we've been really privileged and honored to work with tons of DC chefs through collaborations, and just, you know, a lot of them use our pickles, and that's one of the things that we love, because Sheila's background's in the hospitality industry, and it's a great fit.
Yeah, what would you say is the like sort of percentage of the pickles that you sell, like in stores versus wholesale? Like where are your pickles?
Well, I'd say that we our biggest percentage of sales is through retail, and then we work with restaurants, and we sell at farmers markets. We do online as well, so those are kind of like our four.
And with the farmers markets, are you guys physically running the booth?
Or we are.
Mm-hmm. You are the faces mm-hmm. of Gordy's.
Yeah.
And where, like, ideally, I mean, do you guys have like a 5-year plan or a 10-year? Like, where do you see Gordy's going? What's the Gordy's dream?
Well, to make a lot of pickles. I mean, we're having tons of fun with it. You know, we get a lot of requests for, like, I think we're going to, like, hone in on our products. Like, we get a lot of requests all the time, like, hey, you know, you guys ever going to pickle green beans? Are you going to ever? And I think that, you know, we've kind of hone in on our product line. We might add something, you know, one or two others. But I think right now we just launched the Bloody Mary mix not long ago. So we're trying to ramp up production with that and kind of get it out to a lot more retailers in DC. So, you know, I mean, obviously the fresh market picking us up nationwide is a game changer for us. So,
and are they picking up all your products, or
they're picking up our sweet chips, hot chili spears, and Thai basil jalapenos?
So you guys do those three. You also do a relish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have the Bloody Mary mix.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are there any other products I'm missing?
We do Cajun okra.
And the cherry pepper spoon.
Oh, yes.
And jardiniere.
Awesome.
Yeah. But the jardiniere has been very limited production because it's all by hand. So, yeah. You could imagine. Yeah.
Sheila, who taught you to make pickles? Or you taught yourself?
I taught myself.
Yeah.
I've always had culinary aspirations and, you know, considered going to culinary school for a very long time. And I think when Sarah and I decided to start the company, we were both at the point where we were thinking, she was thinking business school, I was thinking culinary school, and we just said, you know what, let's just try to put our dollars and invest in a company. So that's what we did.
And how long ago was that? When was Gordy's born?
So we actually did kind of like a soft launch at our best friend's wedding. She, all of her guests got a small jar of sweet chips.
So I think there's pictures of that on your website. And they were customized. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think it's like the greatest thing.
So we thought we'd like eventually get feedback, but we didn't know we'd get like immediate feedback at the wedding. So
did
when we sat there, like,
people just
opened
them up at the wedding?
Yeah.
And were you guys guests at the wedding?
Oh, we were.
Sure. Was your best
we were.
That must have been
And people just like started sticking the fork and then eating them, and we just got like all this great feedback. Yeah. So then we submitted them to the International Pickle Festival, and we ended up winning.
Where is that?
It's in Rosendale, New York.
I really want
to
go
to that. It's not that far from here.
Yeah.
It's like a nice hour and a half trip.
Maybe 2 hours, yeah. And then we got picked up by Whole Foods shortly after that. So it happened really organically.
And how did that Whole Foods moment happen? Because I'm sure that was a turning point.
Yeah, we actually got contacted by someone via our Facebook page to come to the power
of social media.
Yeah, a local Whole Foods French of Heights store, and we just brought products in, and here we are.
How was that? What advice would you give to someone who's trying to start a small food product company?
Oh, so much advice.
where to start?
I think that, I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I think you need to be flexible with the highs and lows. And every day is kind of all of that, you know? So I'd say just, you know, if you really have a vision and you really have a product that you want to take to market, just don't give up on your vision.
And I guess to be clear about the vision too. It's pretty helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like since Gordy's started, is it in line with your original vision? Has it changed?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. I mean, every single jar that we still do is is hand chopped. You know, we hand chop every spear. We brunoise ginger and garlic to infuse into the sweet chips. I mean, we put tons of TLC in those jars. So it's very much, you know, we're growing, but like the quality of the product hasn't changed one bit.
That's pretty amazing. My wife Grace hosts the show right before this one, and she was talking to Matt Lewis and Renato, who run Baked, which is a great bakery that's based in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and they're about to expand into a second bigger store in Manhattan. And they were having this fascinating conversation about quality control. And that moment when you're growing, like, for example, you just got this like national account, like, how do you, are you still going to be slicing every cucumber, or, you know?
Yeah, I think
those
we're definitely going through that right now, because I mean, to get this order out the door, it took us like every ounce of, you know, ourselves. So, you know, we've definitely reflected a lot about like production inefficiencies and, you know, I mean, to get a great pickle, I mean, you really need to do it the way that we're doing it. And that's by hand, you know, really focusing on the ingredients you're putting in the jar and stuff. So we know there's no corners that we could cut, but we're definitely looking for ways to become more efficient.
Maybe get more hands.
Yeah,
chopping
more hands,
the ginger.
Hands. And there's some stuff that we still do that, like, won't, you know, like we still hand label every jar, and that takes tons of time. So something like that won't affect the inside of the product, I think that we could get some efficiencies on.
Yeah. These are sort of like, it's like great problems to have.
Yeah.
It's like that moment.
We were like in the midst of our order, and we were listening to, you talked to Jenny.
Oh, to Jenny Britton-Bauer. Yeah.
And she said, you know, that they no longer handwrite on every jar. And we were just like,
I was sort of relieved to hear that, because I was feeling bad for whoever was with the Sharpie doing each and every one. No, but these are, I think anyone who's starting their own business, whether it's a food product or anything, it's these moments where you're growing enough to get big enough to get something like the order you guys just fulfilled, and then figuring out how to keep fulfilling that and how to go on. So I think they're problems that are obviously, great problems to have, and everyone, you know, can relate to them no matter what you're doing. So I'm really just proud to hear that happened, and I'm excited to see where you guys go.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, because I think you guys do a really great job at encouraging people not only to eat your pickles, and they're delicious, and I can say that from a lot of firsthand experience, but I think you also encourage people to use the pickles and their brines like as ingredients, and I think in some unexpected ways. And as someone who cooks a lot, like, I love that, and I love like anytime, like if I take something out of a jar that comes in like a liquid and then throwing that out, I'm like, wait, that's like a good thing. So I know on your website you have the Gordy's Picklet, which is a cocktail with the brine from your Thai basil jalapenos with vodka, lime juice, and simple syrup. What are other favorite ways to use your pickles beyond just eating the pickles or the brine?
Yeah, so we focus on that heavily, and that's something that that Morgan does with us. We you know, people think of pickles, and sometimes they have limited, you know, like they think, oh, like sweet chips for your you know, just a burger or a relish for just a dog. So we try to get them to really think outside of the box and use the products in all different kinds of ways. Like the cherry pepper spread, we just did a recipe with using it for spicy green beans.
That sounds good.
And we're always like trying to work with local bartenders to have them incorporate the brine into cocktails.
Like beyond the pickleback.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with, but there's other things you can do with it. How many pickles do you guys each eat a day? Or do you eat them every day?
I'm constantly eating them on the production line just for quality control purposes, but we do cook with them quite a bit. We love experimenting.
I eat a lot of eggs, and the jalapenos are really great with eggs, and so is the cherry pepper spread. So I think those are probably the two products that I use the most, because I eat a lot of eggs.
Awesome. Well, that question kind of leads me into the Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire Q&A, which I know you guys have listened to the show, so you might be familiar with, but they're questions we ask every guest, and no pressure whatsoever. So I don't know who, maybe Sheila, you want to answer first.
Okay.
So Sheila, sweet or salty?
Salty.
Sarah?
Well, I gotta say sweet.
You guys are a good couple. What did you have for breakfast today?
We four-shot latte.
That's no joke.
Likewise. We also got one of our favorite bakers in D.C., Frenchie's. We got a a croissant on the go from her. Yeah.
Delicious. If I were to look into your refrigerator at home right now, what might I be surprised to find?
Well, we have a lot of interesting stuff in there right now because we have a we have a 19-year-old this interning and that's living with us, and she's working at the DNC, so she's got all sorts of interesting treats.
That's so funny.
String cheese being one of them.
The take-home goodies. Sheila, what's your go-to snack?
I love to snack on nuts, so I really love pistachios and golden raisins and almonds, and they're great while I'm working.
Yeah.
Sustain energy.
And Sarah?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. What is your favorite time of day?
For me, evening, but in theory, I want, you know, like the 5 a.m. hour to be my prime time.
That's my fantasy, but it's never happened.
I would say evening, too.
And I'm going to ask you guys the last question. Sheila, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
My mother's meat sauce or bolognese, yeah.
And Sarah?
Yeah, I'd say likewise, yeah. No, not bolognese, but just pasta.
Pasta.
Yeah. Awesome. So you guys really... meant to be together. Sarah and Sheila, thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a quick break. I may have a pickle. And then we're going to be back with Danielle and Laura from The New Potato.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, I'm Grace Bonney, host of After the Jump. This summer, Heritage Radio Network is turning 5. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else, and we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented, nonprofit organization. That means we depend on the support from listeners like you to keep us alive. If you love what you hear on Heritage Radio Network, visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
We are students at Girls Prep, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, and welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. That little ad with those kids sort of just melted my heart. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. We were just speaking with Sarah and Sheila from Gordy's Pickle Jar, and now we are turning the microphones over to Danielle and Laura Kosan, the sisters behind thenewpotato.com. Hi, guys.
Hi.
For the Pickles and Potatoes Day. I know you're usually on the other side of interviewing. You're usually the ones asking questions, so I hope this arrangement works out.
We'll see.
I want to talk a little bit about life before The New Potato. Where are you guys from?
We're from Connecticut, so New Canaan. We always kind of grew up coming in out of the city. Our family's from New York, so.
Yeah. And were you brought up in a family that celebrated food and everything that comes with food?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We always used to cook with our mom. Our grandma is very European, so she was always making these very Eastern European meals, and we
would
always cook
from?
With her. She's from Austria.
Okay.
So we would always cook with her. So we were definitely grew up, you know, loving food, and you know, we were lucky enough to travel, and we would, you know, always try different things. So
cool.
Yeah.
And what were you both doing before you started the site?
I was producing at Showtime Network,
and I was doing art direction and design and fashion.
So both those things sort of
good
help.
Combination.
Yeah.
And for anyone listening who's not familiar with The New Potato, how would you describe the site? Because I think of it as it's not just a site about food.
I mean, we always kind of describe it as the world through the lens of food, kind of a voyeuristic approach, and basically it's just like a digital magazine that celebrates food, but it's a conversation about, you know, fashion, design, all the different industries.
So. Yeah, very lifestyle oriented.
And if I'm not mistaken, you guys come from a family that runs a business together, is that mm-hmm. right? I did a yep. little homework. So did that influence your decision into going into business together as sisters?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really funny when I actually sit and think about it, we didn't really, it wasn't like a should we or shouldn't we just sort of, it's like in our blood. We were like, oh, we have this idea, let's just start it together. Like, it was so exciting. So I guess that probably just the idea that came so naturally and that we didn't even have to think about it. So, yeah.
Did you, when you started the site, were you starting it as a way to support yourselves? Like, was it a enterprise, like a money-making thing, or was it just, it was just pure?
When we first started, we were starting it at our full-time jobs, yeah. basically yeah. as a side thing, and then it kind of just started doing so well and, you know, spiraling, and people loved it that we just kind of took the plunge. And yeah,
is it both of your full-time jobs now, or are you still doing it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And how would you describe your roles?
Well, we always say it's like divided where I'm like editor-in-chief, Danielle's creative director, because that's like literally how we'll divide things. But we, it's a small business, we both wear many hats, and mm-hmm. you know, as a startup, so
yeah,
we kind of have our hands in everything.
Definitely.
And where does the new potato, you know, where does it, do you guys work in an office? I don't know what I want to say, where does it exist? It exists
yeah.
online, but.
No, we don't have an office. We kind of run around a lot,
yeah.
but you know, we'll sometimes work out of our apartments. We work out of Soho House a lot. So we're kind of all over the place.
That works.
Yeah, we run. We're really, I mean, you know, we're always shooting and, mm-hmm. you know, interviewing people and stuff. So we're really meetings, whatever.
On the go.
Yeah, we're really on the go.
And if you don't mind me asking, is the site, because I know you have some advertising on the site, mm-hmm. is it fully supported by advertising? Are you guys doing any yeah. creative revenue?
Yeah, I mean, we do affiliates, obviously, but advertising is a big part of, you know, just brand collaboration, and then traditional advertising, the banners that you see, and, you know, other things are definitely in the works, but advertising is a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And is the new potato at this point, does it exist? Is it just the two of you? Do you have any other members?
We actually just hired two part-time people just last month, so it's super
exciting.
We've always had interns, but you know, these are our first official part-timers,
that's
so we're
cool.
super excited. Yeah. So we're growing.
The new potatoes.
Yeah, the new potatoes, exactly.
Speaking of, how did you land on the name?
Well, yeah, she always makes me answer this one. It was weird because we didn't really want something that was foodie, because we really thought of the site as being very lifestyle oriented, and obviously it couldn't be too fashiony. We wanted something, and we loved the play on word, like the new something, mm-hmm. you know, just like the play on the new black. Mm-hmm. So when we were thinking about it, and we wanted it to be kind of light and fun, so we were like, potato, like, because it's new potatoes, and you know, like,
it feels like
the new
potato. Like the double meaning,
yeah.
like the new black, and
mm-hmm.
it's new potatoes,
yeah.
so people really liked it, it caught on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, people, it's very catchy.
It wasn't
catchy.
Taken.
Yeah, definitely wasn't
yeah,
taken.
It was not taken. Oh my God. We love it now. It's only sometimes, when we recently went through customs, and the customs guy was asking us what we do and who we work for and what our business was, and that's the only time that we wish it was like the new Republic.
Yeah.
Something that he's like, the new potato. Like, we swear it's legit.
That's one of my favorite questions of, if you do, like, if you're having the opportunity to travel internationally and you're limited to that space on that little immigration card that asks you what you do.
What do you guys say?
What do you fill out?
I always just put creative director because it's just, I feel like people won't ask questions.
I just feel like editor-in-chief. Yeah.
That works. I think right now, I think your site really does feel everything you just described about the name. It feels fresh. It feels like there's new content and everything. But we're living in a world right now that there's so much content in print, online, and everything. What would you say sets the new potato apart?
Well, you know, I think that it's kind of like how we started, that we didn't want to approach food in like a really uber foodie sense. And I think that's what a lot of people were doing. We wanted to approach it, you know, with the notion that industries aren't mutually exclusive, and someone in fashion may love food and someone in food, you know, loves fashion. And just that we approach it like from this lifestyle standpoint, I think people really gravitate towards that. And we're constantly innovating with what we're doing. And it's this voyeuristic approach where city guides and recipes, everything's through that tastemaker lens. So it's more of a magazine, which I think people really mm-hmm. love. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool. And you guys do a lot of interviews, like tons of them. And you've interviewed a lot of really notable people, including like pretty like major magazine editors, actors. You've even interviewed Kris Jenner. What is your process of deciding who to approach? How does that all happen?
Well, we are lucky now. We get a lot of pitches. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, so we do, you know, spend a lot of time weeding through those and seeing, you know, what fits and what doesn't. But in general, we just kind of think, you know, who's going to really care about this? Do we care about it? Are our readers going to care about it? And, you know, we just kind of, it's very instinctual. Like, you know, if we're like, I think people, if we're interested about that person's life, we feel like our readers will
Someone
be too.
Else might be,
yeah, yeah. And we have a good sense of who our reader is and mm-hmm. what she or he likes. So,
and just also those people that we feel are in that limelight that maybe don't necessarily get asked these questions.
Exactly.
We find that there's something really like remarkable that people really like.
Yeah.
So.
And do you feel like, when was the moment when you went from pitching people to be on your site to receiving pitches? Do you feel like there was a turning moment?
You know, it's hard to say because when we started, we were lucky enough to launch with people like Alain Ducasse. So mm-hmm. it actually, like, we had a really strong launch. But
do you mind telling people that story? Because I read it in an interview. I think maybe you guys did with New York Magazine, was it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
That story is pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it was great. I was on my way to Miami. I sat next to someone on a plane that I saw that he was looking through the Romana Williams, mm-hmm. you know, lookbook, who's have designed places like the Dutch and whatnot. And I like started a conversation with him, and it ended up that he was Alain Ducasse's business partner. And I said, you know, hey, does he want to be on this site that doesn't exist yet? And we like went and interviewed him, and it was pretty funny because the site wasn't even up yet. So, and once you get him, it really opens it
that
up.
That name
too.
Opens a lot
yes,
of doors.
Yes, it was a good
I
story.
I love though, hearing yeah. those stories because I think it's just like such a testament to the power of just asking, because what's the worst that can happen? They'll say no. Or, you know, yeah. Sarah and Sheila, who we were talking to earlier with Gordy's Pickles, they were talking about Whole Foods essentially found them like on Facebook, and mm-hmm. it's like just putting stuff out there is
the
most valuable thing.
Definitely.
So with all these interviews, are there any is there any particularly memorable interview or like any particularly memorable response to one of your questions?
Ooh, response
good or bad, like
questions.
Anything that really stands out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in terms of memorable interviews, obviously interviewing Martha Stewart was awesome. Like, that was just...
It's pretty major.
Pretty surreal and really cool. That one just always sticks out in my head.
And even, like, shooting, you know, Kris Jenner and having her worry that the paparazzis have followed her to the Nobu in Malibu. And Danielle and I are, like, secretly, like, not used to this. We're like, we really hope the paparazzi show up just because it'd be so cool. Really, it'll be a thing in, like, Star Magazine, like, the new Potato Girls. Kris Jenner.
Paparazzi in the new Potato photo shoot. You're really
sorry, Kris, because you're totally listening to this right now.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. She loves Heritage Radio.
Yeah, I mean, I think also it's sort of like a theme that we did, like, Lori Goldstein today, and we did David Barton once, and Lori Goldstein today said that her ideal food day would be fasting, and David Barton, when we asked David Barton what his ideal food day would be, he said, I wish you could just put all food in a pill and you could just take it every day. So I think we also love that on our site there are just these two, like, polar... we always just say everyone has to eat. So
yeah.
I feel like I
have the same refrain, and I think it's being someone who's interested in food and who writes about it. Like, I just feel like I think it's something that applies to everyone, not just people who are totally interested in food, because everyone does have to eat. Hopefully everyone is able to eat, you know, every day. Like, there's, you know, that's so funny about Kris Jenner. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall. Speaking of your questions and the interviews you guys do, I think you're pretty great at asking questions. You guys do great interviews. And I thought maybe I could turn the table a little bit and ask you some of your questions. So I don't know who wants to start. Maybe Laura, if you want to start. What's your ideal food day?
Oh, God. The worst thing is that when I get asked it, it's different every single time.
And or today. What would you like today to look like?
Okay, so today, I think it would be like the pastry basket from Lafayette, which is fresh in my mind because we did Andrew Carmelini yesterday. And then it would be lunch at Roberta's, of course, the margarita pizza.
So your day's going well so
far. It's going really well. And then, I don't know, maybe like a mid-afternoon snack of soup dumplings. I always get soup dumplings in there because it's like one of my favorite things.
Where do you like to get them from?
Well, to be honest, I did a summer in Shanghai when I was in college, so I...
You'd go there.
I would go there. I always say, you can travel anywhere. But here, Joe Shanghai is really good. Yeah. And then for dinner, maybe like I would make like a roast chicken with with red wine. Just chill dinner. It's been a busy day, yeah.
Delicious. What about you, Danielle?
Well, I would probably start with I would start with a smoked salmon bagel from Mile End, which is near my new apartment, and I'm obsessed with it.
Are you in Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Brooklyn. Yeah. And then for lunch, I would have fish tacos somewhere. Really like fish tacos on a beach, preferably. And then for dinner, I've just always, it's always the same, but it would always be Jonathan Waxman's roast chicken at Barbuda.
It's pretty perfect.
Yeah, it's like the best.
I like, I saw recently you guys spoke with Jonathan Waxman about Nashville.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And we've
loved
had the pleasure
guy.
Of speaking to a lot of women on the show, and Nashville has come up, and it's a pretty great place to eat. I love knowing that he just opened a place there. I'm going on a tangent. Back to your questions that I'm going to ask you. So I love this question. In the same vein as what is the new black in fashion, what is the new potato?
Do you mean in food or in anything? In anything.
Whatever you'd like.
And now I understand why people, everyone always
Danielle
like,
wants to answer this one first.
Okay, so I think, oh my gosh, I don't know.
Maybe, can I interrupt you while you think about
this?
This actually is interesting to me because it's sitting here interviewing you guys. When you interview people, what's your process? Do you have a tape recorder? Are you writing down answers? Do you email them questions?
So we do both. So either we email questions or we do, I record on like the iPhone, mm-hmm. iTalk. It's amazing. It picks up everything. So that's what, yeah.
And then you transcribe it?
Yeah. I used to actually write the notes down, but like in the way beginning when we were first starting, but then I didn't anymore because it was like too nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's so funny. Sarah and Sheila were talking about how, I mean, their pickle business is growing hugely. They just had this big national thing, and like they're at the point where Sheila's like chopping every cucumber and every, and it's like taking every note by hand. And it's sort of like the writer equivalent.
I think Birkenstocks are the new
potato.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, and I was going to say, I saw a new potato too. I think it's actually, it is people like Gordy's Pickles, because I think now people really want to buy stuff from smaller purveyors that's really well packaged, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's really all the rage.
Cool. Is there any product you have in mind that you're really enjoying?
Yes. Right now I'm obsessed with this yogurt. It's called, it's Mustache.
Oh, White Mustache.
Oh,
they're
my
amazing.
God. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, yeah. It's my, I'm
it's like
I'm
the most decadent, wonderful.
Well, when you, especially when you move to Brooklyn, you realize like,
all right,
how
guys,
many...
those of us that live in Manhattan can't get this White Mustache.
Listen, it's good.
I'll bring you some over the river.
Don't go through a customs process to clear your Brooklyn books.
Talk about filling out that form. I would totally agree with you. I think that yogurt is pretty amazing. It's, and I don't know the girl who makes it personally, but we've spoken via Instagram. And I think what she's doing is amazing. And she obviously really cares so much about the product.
Yeah, the packet, everything, packaging, it's all so great.
Yeah. So another one of your questions. If you could host a dinner party with any five people, living or dead, who would be there? And you guys can choose if you're going to host this together or you're going to have two dinner parties. And
we can host it together.
Yeah.
Okay, so two people for sure. Diana Vreeland and Lucille Ball. That's Lucille Ball's mine, but
awesome.
You love her too.
What do I always say for this? I actually think Alfred Hitchcock would be really cool. Yeah. And I say Julia Child would be really amazing.
Definitely.
And Danielle, you pick a fifth.
Let's see. I think I'd want Lena Dunham there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
Is...
Just to say inappropriate things.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to be a fly on the wall. I think your questions are a very, very wonderful warm-up to the Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire questions, which are the 8 questions we ask every guest who comes on. So let's see. Maybe Laura, I'll have you go first. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Danielle?
Salty.
Salty. What did you have for breakfast today?
I had actually yogurt and like Kind granola. Really boring. Sorry.
Nothing wrong with that.
I had oatmeal with bananas and blueberries.
Delicious.
And an almond latte.
Ooh. Are you a coffee drinker, Laura?
It's crazy.
I made her an almond latte.
She made me an almond latte. I went to her apartment. Yeah.
That's a very sisterly, a nice thing to do. Laura, what are you reading right now?
Like what book?
So I
just finished a good book. It's called, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but it was really good. It was like the Yana Lossi like riding camp for girls, and it was really good. I just read it when I was recently in Bermuda, and I really liked it. So I like just finished that, and then I actually started this new thing where I get the New York Times delivered to my apartment every morning because I miss having feeling something rather than reading a computer, and I make myself do that every morning. So that's kind of
my
thing
nice
too.
Ritual.
Yeah.
I get it on the weekends and.
Yeah.
I try to finish it before Monday. What about you, Danielle?
I just finished The Interestings, which is...
Oh.
Yeah, it was awesome. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Cool. Laura, if I were to look into your refrigerator right now, what might I be surprised to find?
Surprised. You'd be surprised to find apple cider vinegar, because Danielle was telling me for so long to do a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in the morning, because people on our site kept saying it, and she said it was awesome, and I kept rolling my eyes, and then I tried it, and it is awesome. So you guess you'd be surprised to see it in my fridge.
But you're not supposed to put it in the fridge.
I was about to ask.
You're not? But hey, you're still alive.
I'm sure it doesn't hurt it.
I've been doing that for like a good 2 months.
I was wondering if that made it better, if that's why you keep
it. Oh, I love it, because it's nice and cold. Oh my God, is it bad for you?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I can't imagine it's hurting you. Danielle, what's in your fridge?
I actually just had a Fresh Direct delivery this morning, so I have enough bottles of water to feed a small village.
What is your go-to snack, Laura?
Boring, like almonds or cashews.
I feel like nuts seems to be the answer across the board.
I like a little the naked popcorn with like a little garlic salt. It's a good one.
I love garlic salt.
It makes so
that is yeah. It makes everything a little bit better.
A
I think.
Pretty underrated ingredient.
Yeah.
I have a guilty pleasure of watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, great show. Yeah, great show.
Guy Fieri refers to it as vitamin G, which I think is pretty hysterical.
So funny. I've never heard that.
Laura, what is your favorite time of day?
I actually think the morning. Yeah, like waking up, coffee. It's like
what time does that usually happen?
Pretty early, like 6:30, 7 or so, and I... my dog like sleeps later than I do. I have a cup of coffee.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I read the paper now. I know he's like lazy in the morning. It's crazy. I'm lucky though.
I was about to say you're very
lucky. He's the cutest dog. I guess mine is probably, I do love the morning, but mine is probably the end of the day when I just kind of get home and kind of like have dinner with my husband and kind of convene at the end of the day. It's kind of nice.
That's a nice moment. I'm going to have a sidebar question. What kind of dog do you have, Laura?
Oh, he's a toy Australian.
The cutest dog ever.
Yeah. Oh, those are really cute.
Yeah, he's like black and white. He looks like a cartoon character.
What's
his
name?
Scout.
Scout. Yeah. That's my parents'
dog's
name.
He's a person. Oh. He's like a person. He's amazing.
Laura, I know you mentioned you just were in Bermuda, but where would you like to travel to next?
That I haven't been.
Or go back to anything?
I'm going to say Paris because I'm so in love with Paris. And Danielle and I went like last year for Fashion Week, and I need to go again because I miss it.
Yeah. I would like to go to the Amalfi Coast soon.
Probably this time of year.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's a bad
weeks,
time of year.
Awesome. But,
And lastly, and this is, I'm really curious your answer to this because you guys were kids together. What was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
Actually, my mom used to make, what is that chicken?
The honey mustard chicken.
Yes, my mom used to make
with
honey mustard chicken with rice pilaf, and I was obsessed with it. I would ask her to make it, like, every single night. It was so good. It would be interesting to have her make that again.
we probably wouldn't
like it as much. Yeah.
Mine was pizza. I was obsessed with pizza as a child.
Still?
I definitely don't eat it as much as I did. I used to eat a lot of pizza. So if I ate it that much now, I probably wouldn't be able to stomach it as well.
That's so
but
funny.
Yeah.
Well, I want your mom's recipe. I'm very curious. Danielle and Laura, thank you so much for being
here
today.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on this side of the questions. You guys can be found online at thenewpotato.com.
Yes.
And your Twitter and Instagram are the same handle, thenewpotato.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Sarah and Sheila from Gordy's Pickle Jar, who were on earlier, can be found at gordyspicklejar.com. And at Gordy's Pickle Jar is also their Instagram and Twitter handle. And I just want to make a quick Cherry Bomb announcement, which is super exciting. The third issue, which has Ruth Reichel as the cover girl, and it's the best picture of Ruth Reichel I've ever seen, is going to be out next week. So we're super happy about that.
Yay.
So you can, if you subscribe, you'll be getting it soon. And otherwise, it'll
be
in stores. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next Wednesday at 2:00 on Heritage for another episode of Radio Cherry Bomb.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.